Well, good morning, family. Before we get to... Oh, it's okay. It's all good. Before we get into service, the Casillas's, Herman and family, brought us fresh blueberries. So help yourself to them. Not during service and around the chairs and stuff. Let's wait till after. Look at all the blueberry stains. No, that wouldn't be good. I wanted to let you know that Phyllis had some hard news this morning. Her son, who we were praying for last week, he has been put on just a morphine drip, and they're not going to give him probably more than 24 hours. So this is the second loved one she's lost in less than a month. And so we're going to pray right now for the grace of God to just come into this family. Father, we do. We ask right now, Lord, for your grace to come, Lord, in this family. Lord, we pray that you would just touch Phyllis's heart, Lord, as she's getting ready to experience another loss, Lord. And we ask that you would just allow the comfort of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to just guard her heart, Lord. Allow her, Lord, to remain, Lord, in you, Lord, in that place of peace, that place of assurance, that place of confidence, Lord, that even in death, Lord, that love will prevail, Lord. We just pray right now, God, that you would just allow this whole family, Lord, and his friends to be touched, Lord, with your love and your grace. Lord, that you would allow them to come and rise up above the grief, Lord, into the place where they can look into your face and receive, Lord, comfort and receive, Lord, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord, that will help make all of them free. And we just thank you, God, that you are the one, Lord, that brings life to all, Lord, and that you are the one that receives our life, Lord, at the end of our life. And we just ask right now that you would just be with us in this service, Lord, as we now come before you. We come before you, Lord, to worship. We come before you, Lord, to turn our hearts to you, Lord. We come before you right now, Lord, to turn our attention to you, Lord, and to look into your face. And I just pray right now, Lord, that anyone that's come in here today, Lord, with a heavy heart, anyone that's come in here today, Lord, that feels distracted with the cares of this life, Lord, that you would allow them to be caught up and swept up, Lord, into your presence, Lord, where there is fullness of joy, where there is peace that passes all understanding, Lord. And Lord, that there would be a richness that we would all be able to leave this place in, Lord, in our lives, that we would be able to be a light and a candle, Lord, for those who do not have your love and mercy and grace and salvation and righteousness working in their lives. And we just ask all of this now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sure.
Lord. I love that song. I know it's kind of old-fashioned, but wow, the words are so powerful. Christ alone. He's our cornerstone. Yes. No, I don't want the drink. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moved over a little bit. Okay, there we go. There? Well, praise the Lord. Actually, there's two people. Cindy doesn't know.
Your daughter.
Mm-mm. So we had a meeting on Wednesday night.
Family meeting
on Wednesday night. Thank you. Yes. Family meeting. Got to keep the word family in there. Yeah. And we were, do you have your mic? Okay, go ahead. And we were communicating a change in our life, which was going to be adding a change to the church's life. The family's life, right? Church family, right. And it was a well attended meeting, and we were really blessed at everybody's encouraging words and everything. But what we communicated, we're going to keep it shorter today. Anybody could call us, or even after church, you want to come back if you have any questions.
Right.
But what the real gist of it is that we're going to be moving to the Tri-Cities, which is just down the street. Our kids used to live in Cleveland, Ohio. And so when they say, can you come watch the kids? You know, like for something, and we go, oh,
because
yeah.
Because they live in the Tri-Cities.
You're just down the street compared to when they lived in Cleveland, Ohio. And you know, once you drive it a bit, you realize it's not that
just
big of a deal.
Street.
Yeah. But anyway, so we're going to be moving
so
down there. We have commitment from Grace that they're going to be considering us to remain as the senior pastors as long as we can get help and assistance. And when I say that, I mean like help with the church, making sure that the task, and I read off about 20 things that need to be covered during the winter and the spring. And I would say that probably the majority of everyone who was there was very encouraging and said that they would do whatever they could do. And that's all we're asking. We're not asking for someone to carry the whole thing themselves.
Right.
Do you want to say that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so what we would be doing is we would be coming up on Sunday mornings or Saturday night, depending upon what the weather's like. And we will be here when you get here Sunday morning. So as far as anyone coming to church, a visitor, a guest, they're just going to think that, you know, we're here. Now, there might be a Sunday or two that, because of weather.
Due to weather.
We'll have somebody that would step up.
We have
like
Moses
we have and Roger.
We have lots of people.
Herman could even bring a word.
Yeah.
Jesse could bring a word from up there. It'd be kind
yes,
of odd
could.
On your necks. But yeah. Like, okay. Anyway, so that is the short story. We're going down there, I will let you know, to support our family who has been going through some crisis. And so we prayed about it, and we really felt like the Lord, his heart was for us to do this. And so
to shepherd our family.
It's an act of love. Yeah, it's an act of love. So be praying for us. And Gay will be down there in about 2 weeks. And then I'll be kind of migrating my way down there probably by the end of September. So that is the news, Bob, that you missed, and Cindy.
Well, and happening. One thing that we want to say is that, and we said this in the meeting, is that, you know, a few years ago, we took in two kids here from the church that were brand new kids with their family, and we fostered them for 6 months. And then when this presented itself, we're like, if we can't do it for our own family, who should we do it for, you know? And so in the midst of this crisis, several crises actually into one, our daughter has returned to the Lord, and our grandson has given his heart to the Lord. So God is really moving in this, and we're very assured of his call for us to minister to them and continue to minister here. So just be praying for us and yourselves and our kids. We would appreciate that so much. And just know that our hearts are still 100% here. We love you guys. You're our family. And God's got a plan, and it's a good plan. It's a great plan. It's a big plan, and I'm excited to be part of it. So
the Bible says that he knows the plans that he has for us, and they're plans to prosper us and to not to harm us and to have a future and a hope. So we believe in that, right? We believe that. Is it up there yet? Oh, you've gone too far. I've gone too
far.
I just got it.
Oh, there it is.
I didn't do anything.
I want to say something about this before we get
started. She wants to say something.
So I have to tell you what happened this morning. So this morning, when he gets up way early, I do not. Just saying. I'm not a good sleeper at night, so I drag out of bed on Sunday mornings especially. But this morning when I got up before my alarm went off, and I have had a scripture on my heart for the last 2 days. And so I didn't, he normally emails me or texts me the message early in the morning so I get it and I can, you know, be praying on it and all that. But this scripture the Lord gave me 2 days ago, and it's one of the scriptures that's in the lesson for today. And I'm just like, oh Lord, you are so good that you already prepared my heart, everybody's heart, to receive. And it is so exciting to me today, especially.
You're missing one more confirmation.
What's that?
Jesus calling.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then I went to Jesus calling this morning. And this one of the scriptures that's in here is also in Jesus calling today. So God's got this all planned. It's going to be a good day. Whoop.
You mean we don't have to fret or worry or anything?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay. I was getting all ready to fret or worry. Okay. That's good. I'm glad I don't have to. Being silly, folks. Okay. So we're going to talk about life abundantly, or abundant life. And it's last week we went through John 10, 1 through 9. And we're going to read the last three verses of what we had last week, just so we can kind of dovetail it into this verse. But we're going to really just break down this one verse, John 10, 10, because it says a lot. And we'll see what, you know, what little bit we can glean out of it. I believe that this is, just as Jesus says, I'm a door, he is the word. And so as we meditate on this word, you know, this John 10, 10 scripture, which we'll read here in a minute, it gives us an opportunity to let the depth and the truth of that come to us, especially in the place of need in our life. So let's go ahead and read John 10, 7 through 9.
So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture.
And so we went through 10, 1 through 9. If you're interested in that, that should be posted on our website, onelifefamilyworship.org. And that is in a format you can either stream or I believe you can download. So if you're interested in that, you can do that. John 10, 10. Go ahead, hon.
The thief comes only...
Oh, sorry. Now, hold on. Now it's not working, Jesse.
What?
Now it's not working. See, he wanted to take control again away from me. It's like...
He's got his finger on the big button.
There's like four screens up there. Sorry. So do you want to read that again? They didn't even see that.
Is it up there now?
Yeah, it's up there now. Yeah.
The thief comes only.
Oh, okay. We'll go to 10:10. Forget it.
Only. Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
Only to steal and kill and destroy. That's his only job. And if you're his enemy, he's your enemy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. This is in red. This is Jesus speaking.
So Jesus is saying the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life. They may have life and have it abundantly. Now, it's interesting, if you look up here, in the verse back, it says, so Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I'm the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. And then Jesus says here, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, it's interesting because, and I know this may mess with some of your guys' theology, but I'm just trying to keep the word in its context. You will hear people say the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And they always say, well, that's just the devil. But how many know that the devil uses people?
And he uses spiritual leaders in this case, Pharisees and Sadducees, and people who were kings and princes over them. And basically were trying to take from the people their livelihood, their life, and would steal from them, would destroy, you know, what they had so that they could get gain. And that's really what it was about. It was about that they wanted to get more gain. And I don't know what the enemy gets from us when we yield to his ways, when we let him come into our lives and steal, kill, and destroy from us. I don't know if somehow he's elevated. I know one time I preached a message or shared a message, I think it was the men, and it talks about, you know, us living a life of godliness, inspired by God, empowered by God with his grace. It's a form of worship. That's what Romans 12 says. As we yield our bodies as a living sacrifice. So to me, I think when the enemy deceives us, trips us up, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When he gets us in that mode where he's winning in our lives, it's like a form of worshiping him. It's like his kingdom is being glorified.
Right.
Yeah. So, but I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. So what does this word abundantly mean? Let's go and take a look at it. Abundantly. It's the word perissos, and it is from the sense of beyond. It comes from a word peri, and I don't know what the part isos means, but it means beyond or over. And it means superabundant in quantity or superior in quality. So you could read this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it more superior in quality. So our life being more superior in quality than it's ever been, or has the capability of being, or superabundant in quantity.
Yeah.
You could also say,
more than we need.
Right. Exceedingly abundant, very high, beyond any measure, and superfluous. How do you pronounce that word?
Superfluous.
Superfluous. Yeah, what he said.
Fueless.
Roger.
Greater than
abundance. So you have abundance, but then exceeding abundance. It's kind of like verily, verily, truly, truly. It's like truly, but even more so truly. Yeah. It's one of those words that carries significant weight to the where we need 3 and 4 words in the English to explain it. Because we don't have any word like the perissos. Superfluous. I want to say superfluous, but that's superfluous. Okay, there we go.
Superfluous.
What?
It's superfluous.
I know whatever you're saying, but I'm just saying that's the way I pronounce it. And I think the way I pronounce it is the way
original.
It gets pronounced. Yeah, that's right. At least by me, if I can't pronounce the other way. Okay. After my little digression, Psalm 23:1-5. Now, David, how many know that David was a messianic Old Testament believer? And what that means is that he had an understanding of Messiah. He had an understanding of the Christ. I mean, to the place where it's described that most likely he went into some kind of prophetic vision, and he actually saw Christ and him suffering on the cross, and what the soldiers were doing with his garments and everything. So he had quite the vision of the suffering Messiah. But he also had a vision of what Messiah would bring into his life. And so he talked a lot of times in the Old Testament like a New Testament believer. He didn't talk about, you know, oh, woe is me, and oh, what am I going to do, and I just need to gain more money. He looked at God as his source, and that his source was not in any way holding back from what his needs were. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, because David's known as the man that God loved.
The man after God's own heart.
I mean, after God's own heart. And it doesn't mean that we're not after God's heart, but to recognize that that's his only goal. I think that we have so many different goals. If that's one of them, I think it needs to be the top one.
It's
that
hard
we
to
be
do,
after God's own heart. But that's why God says that about David. It's the same as what he said about John, the disciple that John loved.
Jesus loved.
Or Jesus loved. sorry.
I know what you meant.
Yeah, the disciple that Jesus loved. It's because John recognized the love of Jesus.
Right.
We need to recognize that David and we are the ones that God loves.
Yeah, completely.
After his heart.
Yeah.
100%.
Without distraction,
number
without hesitation.
One, yes.
And so David says here in Psalm 23, I use verse 1 and 5. I'd encourage you to read all of Psalm 23. Most people have it memorized because it's been quoted so many times. But I think it's interesting because he's specifying here that the Lord is his shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that interesting that Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd back in mm-hmm. John 10. So that's why I'm saying he was a messianic prophet and king. He really understood Messiah and what Messiah was going to do in the lives of all of mankind. Because even David talks about all of mankind in some of his psalms. Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
Psalm 23:1, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
I shall not want. Now, most people say, well, that sounds pretty King James, or whatever you want to say. But the point being is, he's perfect. Saying that I don't have any need. Some verses translate it, I have no needs. Can we say that? We should be able to, because it says...
It says want.
I shall not want.
Not needs.
Yeah, I'm just telling, but his want is like, I'm not going to lack anything.
Okay.
So I'm not in need of anything to be sustained. The Lord is my shepherd. He will meet my needs according to his riches and glory. What Paul said, David could have said that right there. I believe that Christ will meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Wouldn't you think? I mean, that's exactly what he's saying there. I don't have any desire, any...
For more.
Because the Lord is my shepherd. He will meet all of my needs. Okay, so read 5.
Psalm 23:5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
My cup isn't just full. My cup isn't just like to the place where, oh, it's right full to the... No, it's overflowing.
Exceedingly.
So abundantly. Overflowing means that it's always being poured out.
Yeah.
So he had the vision of this source that was always overflowing. That's pretty powerful for an Old Testament believer to have that revelation. And what's our problem? Why do we always think that we're in lack or that we don't have what we need? Well, hopefully when we're done with this, we'll have some scriptures that we'll anchor our soul to and anchor our heart to and remember that we don't need to want and that our cup does overflow. Okay, let's go ahead and look at John 4:14, speaking of overflowing.
But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again.
Jesse, you're going to have to sit there. It's like it works once and then... Yeah, and the batteries are full. Uh-oh. just
John
one verse
4,
ahead.
John 4,
there we
14.
Go.
But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Now, this is the same Jesus who says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it super overflowing, super abundantly, superfluous. Hey, I said it. Come on now, folks. That was like... No, nobody.
Good
I get
you,
one.
Babe.
Thanks, Zeke. I appreciate it. He's the only one that loves me here. Okay, here we go. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up. So what is a welling up? That's an artesian spring. That's a spring that source is literally pushing the water out and overflowing. And that this water that he gives us, which later on is described as the Holy Spirit, is an eternal life, that abundant life. You could say eternal life and abundant life, they're swallowed up together. Or they're wrapped up. I don't think you can have abundant life without eternal life. And the abundant life is the sign of eternal life. When we're living life and life abundantly, life that's... Because what to me, it's not like just that, oh man, I'm always buzzing with the Holy Spirit. Always excited. Everything's all good. And my life's all the pieces are put together. I believe this kind of life overflows into others' lives. I don't think it's just so that we can be, you know, you know, just have this peace so we can walk around, you know, like a monk in a sanctuary and no harm comes to us. But
make
that
it to
we're
the end.
Just to make it to the end. But we're actually flowing with this life that it affects those that are around us. Mm-hmm. That we're able to speak peace to the storm. Maybe not literally speaking to the storm, but just because we're there, the presence of God brings mm-hmm. peace to the storm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Okay.
Which has been the case actually in our personal life with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
He has been just a rock through all of what's gone on, and it's recognized by the kids. They see that. They say that. They're like, you know, he walks in, he says words, and it's just like a healing balm over their spirits. And that's what this abundant life and this continual welling up should look like. And it doesn't mean that your life is 100% A-okay. It just means you're confident in God, who you are, in the midst of the not-so-okay.
Right.
You're abundant in Him. You have so much of Him that it spills out, pours out, and splashes all over everybody else. And that's what we want to... That's what we want to live for. That's what we want to, our goal should be.
Amen. Okay, here's another verse about this water that flows. Got it. It worked, Jess.
John 7, 37 through 38. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water."
Notice he didn't say, out of his heart will flow a river of living water. That'd be great enough, wouldn't it? A whole river flowing? No, but it's multiple rivers. I believe rivers of peace, it's rivers of love, it's rivers of joy, it's rivers of patience, it's all the fruit of the Spirit combined gives us rivers. It's all different tributaries, it's all different source, it's all from the same source, but it's coming from different ways, and I believe that's really a gift from God, because when we need peace, mm-hmm. the river of peace flows. When we need love, the river of love flows. When we need mm-hmm. truth, the river of truth flows. So these rivers of living water are never ending.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to get stopped up. These are rivers that will never get stopped up. How can this river ever get stopped up?
I can stop it up.
You can plug it. Yep. Yeah. You can turn off the valve. You can put a dam there. You can harness this river and say, "Oh, I want, you know, keep this. So I have all this power in the future," and you're just letting a little stream flow all the time and not realizing that it's when those torrents flow all the time that it's washing away all the debris, all the nastiness and everything all the time. This river,
but don't we do that?
We do.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, save when I need it. But it's something that's to continually flow. I know I stop it more than I should. You know, part of it just being, you know, the issues of life, the pressures of life, the busyness of life, not always focusing and setting my mind on things above. You know,
right.
Not always looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I mean, I'm just as guilty as anybody. But it doesn't mean that just because I haven't been looking at Him, that now I have to go through some kind of, you know, I always call it spiritual calisthenics, or some kind of, you know, basically making it so that I'm approved to be able to go back and have the rivers flow through me. All I need to turn into Him and say, "Lord, I just look at You right now and I remember that Your rivers are flowing in me." And you know what He says? Mm-hmm. "Yes, they are, son." And if I've done something that has been unworthy of being, you know, called Christ, you know, or something that brings Him disgrace, I just say, "Lord, Forgive me for the actions that I did, and I know that your blood cleanses me from all unrighteousness. I receive that right now, and at the same time, I let your rivers of life flow through me. And it's not easy. For those of us who pray in the Spirit, it could just be that we just allow ourselves to take some time and just pray in the Spirit, not in our understanding, and just let those rivers of life flow. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Beautiful.
How are we doing on time? We're doing good. Okay, we're doing pretty good. All right. So, there we go. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4.
May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire.
Amen. So may the grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Those are two attributes that when they're in our lives, they bring a stability to us. When we have that supernatural empowerment to do things that we're not able to do ourselves, and when we have that peace that passes all understanding. And keep in mind, these are people that were being persecuted. Mm-hmm. Some of their family had probably already been killed or thrown to lions. And so the turmoil that was going on during this time for a lot of individuals. And, you know, some of them had left their homes. And they were in places of, you know, just basically refuge. You know, they were refugees, basically, in places that would take them. And they were, you know, a lot of them fearing for their lives. But he's also reminding them that his divine power, God's divine power, has given us all things. Notice how all things is really big, super abundant, mm-hmm. overflowing, superfluous, pretty close, you know, exceedingly abundantly. All things that pertain to life. Eternal life and godliness. I love this, that it's not just pertaining to our physical life. Mm-hmm. We have all things that we need for godliness. What did Jesus say? The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they might have life. Everything you need for life. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but more abundantly.
It reminds me when I talked to Phyllis on the phone, like mm-hmm. just this morning. And she's so overwhelmed by everything that's going on in her family. And she says, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then out of the same breath, she says, and the Lord is with me. I know the Lord is with me. The Lord's grace and peace is with me. And you can hear the modulation change in her voice when she speaks that out. Because it says power of life is in our tongue. She
yeah.
speaks out the peace of God. She speaks out the grace of God. She speaks out the mercy of God. And when it does, you can hear the strength rising up in her voice. Like, the enemy's trying to get me down here for good reason. You know, I'm losing my son. But God. We have to be able to say that, because he wants to pour out enough that we will not be in the state of complete obliteration through things like this in our lives. He wants us to be so full of his provision, what he has already provided for us from the beginning of time, that we don't act the normal way the world would, and that makes the world turn to God, because they're like, what's so different about them? Like, Phyllis's family sees she's thankful for so many things. She's thankful for her daughter who's in South Dakota. So the hospital calls Mary in South Dakota. Mary calls Phyllis. Phyllis then calls the rest of the family. Like, she's so thankful for Mary, but Mary is like three states away from where she is and where Richard is, but she's thankful that Mary, her daughter, is taking the spearhead and being the one on call and being the one, because she understands the terminology and all. She's thankful in all things. And that's where that abundance should show in our lives. When we get all anxious and tied up in knots, do we just completely just fall apart? I have before. But my goal is to remember this, to remember that He is abundantly in my life. And where I fail, where I lack, where I don't have enough of what I need to move on in Him, He's there. He's there to take over. He's there to put purpose in there. He's there to push life and to push grace and to push peace through me to others.
Amen.
And that's what Phyllis is doing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers, partners, mm-hmm. included co-workers of His divine nature. Mm-hmm. Saying that's the word koinous. It's where we get our word koinonia, mm-hmm. which means fellowship, or we get our word communion. So this is a sharing together, so that we may be sharers of His divine nature. Now let me ask you, if we are Christ's sharer of His divine nature, do you think that's pretty abundant stuff right there? Do you think God's nature is without end?
Yes.
And so we share, this is another one of those super abundantly type of verses. We share that divine nature through trusting and keeping our focus on His precious promises. And what are His precious promises? Well, that's His word to us. That's His word spoken to our heart. His precious promises are what He's spoken to us. What he's told us about Himself and how he will be true to us, and how He will be faithful to us, and how He will love us. Those are precious promises. And through those, we take on and share in His very nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. All right. Final scripture. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21.
Am I reading all of it?
Yeah, we'll read all of it and we'll come back.
For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work in us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Love that scripture.
Yeah, for this reason I bow my knees. Paul's getting ready to pray to them, for them, through the Father, in Christ, to the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, and on earth is named. Every family is named in heaven and earth in that relationship with Christ, which is very interesting, that according to the riches of His glory. Again, this is one of those scriptures about being super abundant. It's His riches, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and His glory. So according to His riches and His glory that He's bestowed on us, that He would grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses. Mm. So it surpasses even our knowledge. It's super abundant over our own wisdom and knowledge, mm-hmm. that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Mm-hmm. So right there, that is just huge, that when we know the love of Christ, like you said, John said, the disciple that Jesus loved, when we get to the place where love is the attribute that we most focus on about God. Not God's. Notice that it doesn't say, and to know the judgment of Christ. Isn't it interesting? It doesn't say that. Or to know the wrath of Christ. It's not that. It's not God's judgment that fills us with the fullness. Mm-hmm. We need to realize this. It's not God condemning us that leads us to the fullness of God. It's this love, to know the love. Mm-hmm. It's to know that we're loved. Even though we make mistakes, even though our behavior doesn't always equal up to this super Christians that we think we should be, it's this love of God and this love of Christ that when it surpasses all knowledge, that makes us and helps us be filled with all the fullness of God. Yeah. And I don't know if you have, I believe if we're filled with all the fullness of God, are we lacking anything?
No.
Would you think we're lacking anything? I would say that's a super abundant life right there that's filled with the fullness of God. And then he says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, there's that word again,
superfluous.
There you go. Say it into the mic. So.
Superfluous.
Now to him who is able to do superfluous far more abundantly than all we can ask or think. So in other words, we can't even imagine or think how much more God is able to bestow upon us and has already bestowed upon us. Because I'm going to ask everyone here, hopefully by now you know this, how much more of God do you guys need? How much more of God are you lacking?
None.
They were supposed to answer me, yeah.
All that I need is already in here.
All that you need is already there. So then what is the lacking part? The lacking is that our ability to see with eyes that are opened, having the eyes of our understanding enlightened, that we can see that everything that we need is already there. And that's why to know the love of God helps us see that God was not restraining himself from us. Mm-hmm. That God gave Jesus just so that now Jesus is there so that we use him as a bartering tool so we get what we need when we think we need it. Mm-hmm. So in other words, I'm going to pray to Jesus. I'm going to pray through Jesus. I'm going to come to the Father in Jesus' name. And now I can get something that I need to be better in God. No. The thing is that God gave all of himself, lacking nothing. He didn't leave anything. That's why when the Holy Spirit came and resided inside of you, when you came to that light and you realized, oh, God loves me, mm-hmm. he forgives me, I received him, I'm going to follow him. Now the Holy Spirit comes alive in you, born again. That language that is as if we totally are a new creation. Mm-hmm. And now this life that we now live here in the rest of the time in the flesh is now completely sourced out in God. Mm-hmm. Every breath we take, every word we speak is sourced out in God. The only difference is how much of God are we allowing to come through?
Activating.
Choosing.
To allow God to come through us.
And the more that I receive his love, I believe I allow and choose more of him to be evident.
Amen.
That more of the fullness of God becomes evident in my life. That's why love, what? Covers a multitude of sins. That's why love never fails. Isn't that awesome?
It's wonderful.
According to the power at work in the heavens. Isn't that awesome? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly in all we ask or think according to the power that is in the heavens. No. Where's this power residing?
In us.
At work within us. It's not outside of us. This abundance that we all desire of God is already here.
Yeah, all the power we need.
When we receive Christ, we receive all the power we need for the rest of our life. There's people who experience things, and it seems like during that experience that we're receiving something outward from God. I remember when we were doing like the Toronto blessing and stuff, and people would lay hands on us, and we would fall down, and we would think that something is coming from outside. But I think it was happening inside. I think it was awakening of what was already residing in us. That we weren't lacking any good thing.
Right.
That God was not withholding himself so that I would get to the right service and then I'd be able to get what I needed.
Right.
No, that right service positioned me for something to awaken inside of me that was already there. This is a real key. Because if we realize that everything that we need is already within us in Christ, and that we don't lack anything, then all we really need to do is allow what's already there to have its work. As someone said, being Paul, let it have its perfect work in you.
Mm-hmm.
Let it perfect you. You were talking about that word. This perfection that is a sign of maturity. Let it have its perfect work in you.
Mm-hmm.
Let it prevail. And then he says, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that good news?
It tells me why. I don't know how many of you guys were here for that one Wednesday night where we had prayer and everybody was lined up, but no one was being touched. We were praying over people, but not touching them. And it was activating, they were activating the God inside themselves, the deposit inside themselves. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody laid hands on anybody. And there were people all out everywhere, like the power of God was so strong. It's because it's already in there. You don't need somebody to lay hands on you for Jesus to come and fill you up. You already got it in there. You have to activate it. How do you do that? By wanting more and more of him to be seen, wanting more and more of him to be shown in your life, to be activated in your life, for you to be able to have relationship. I mean, he doesn't have any room to speak in my life except that I gave him permission when I married him. Have you given Jesus permission? I mean, you guys are married to Jesus. He's in you, all he's ever going to be. Is he got permission to put his finger on one part that maybe not what he wants, but better, or not what he wants, but different? And we say, yes. I was remembering yesterday, and this is all just flowing so well together. It's an old chorus we used to sing, and I don't even remember. I was singing it all day yesterday. Now I can't remember it, but it was about the kingdoms of my heart. Not just one kingdom, the kingdoms of my heart, meaning I have a kingdom of my marriage, I have a kingdom of being a mom, I have a kingdom of, you know, being a Jesus lover. I have a, you know, and him being Lord of all of those kingdoms, not just the ones I choose to pick, but the all of them. And so it's like, are you one way on Sunday, but then when you get around the coffee pot with the guys at work in the morning and then they're kind of being crass, do you go along with that crassness, or do you say something, or do you just walk away because it's so hurtful to your spirit? Or do you kind of lean into that because you want to like be one? You know what I'm saying? Same thing with kids are getting ready to go back to school. Do you go along with the crowd, and but on Sundays, you know, I gotta be this way. Mm-mm, this abundant, he supplies all we need now. You have it all. And it's okay to be different in him. It's okay to love him. And people know it. It's okay. Because they're the ones that will come to you when life is the rubber's meeting the road in their life, and they need somebody to pray for them, or they need somebody to talk to, that they know they will be able to spill every bit of their guts on you, and you'll be able to take it and help pray for them and lead them in a way that you know is the right way to go. I mean, that's what our goal should be, is that others see Christ in us. What are they seeing in us Monday through Saturday? What are they seeing in us when we're outside of these walls? And these walls have nothing to do with it. It's just where we congregate. But, you know, on Sunday, we all put on our church face. We all put on our, you know, whatever. But that should be the face we wear all the time, is Jesus' face. His eyes, that people can look in there and see the compassion and love. His heart, that we can speak out compassion and love to them. His life that brings freedom, happiness, and joy. His heart that loves them and cannot love them anymore. He's loved them all he can love them. Given his life for them, he can't do anymore. He loves them to the extent they will ever be loved. Do they see that in me? Do they long for that because I got that? Or are we not letting that abundant life flow? Not allowing it to be exceedingly abundant. Over the top abundant. That there's not even an English word for it.
Food for thought.
Food for thought. So does anyone else have anything? Moses, come on up.
Come on.
Oh, opinion?
Well, we want it online, though.
Yeah, we want it online.
I guess we grew up hearing the word abundantly. You know what I mean? And sometimes you hear it a lot in the churches. Use it on the prosperity message. Used a lot on that. So abundantly, life abundantly, you know what I mean, is what I was focusing on.
So you're thinking of like material gain that was focused on sometimes.
Yeah, well, you know, so a lot of the times, you know, in the church culture, they hear abundantly, well, like, you know, and then they're not blessed monetarily, you know, they're like, you know, what's this? I'm supposed to be abundantly blessed, you know. They misinterpret that.
Oh, that's well said.
Into, you know, no, your rivers of living water, your life to them, and you should be an abundant source of life to our brothers and sisters, to our community. And I guess, for, you know, because you hear that message a lot in the prosperity message, you know.
Yeah.
Lord wants to bless you abundantly, you know, and you should have life abundantly, you know. And which, yeah, you know, in some cases, yes, but, you know, they just focus on that. And this message really made it clear to me our abundant Christian life. Mm-hmm. And it mean more abundantly, you know, because Jesus didn't have to worry about none of that stuff, you know, because life was literally pouring out of him every time he spoke to people and the people that he met, you know. And the other point I wanted to make, you know, Jesus talks about being the living water and living water flowing out of him, you know, and reaching everybody. But there's one scripture in the Word on that, because we started on about the world, you know. He's out there like a roaring lion. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And I go back to when Jesus was on the cross. And the one time he said, I thirst.
Right.
What did the world do? What did they feed him? Gall, sour vinegar they shoved in his mouth. There's nothing comes good from the world. Nothing good comes from the world. You know, we sometimes try to find our answers and seek our peace and our comfort in the world. And remember, that's all they have to offer. You know, sour vinegar, sour grapes, and that's what they. He said, "I thirst," and the first thing, and the world is cruel. The world is evil, you know, a dying man, and he says, I'm thirsty, and they shove vinegar down his throat. I'm like, come on. But Jesus spoke of the living water, And I just wanted to share that, you know, just elaborate a little bit on our life abundantly, you know.
That's good.
And thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of, and I don't know if it's as, a what? Oh, I'm pushing the table, sorry. If it's still as prevalent in the church, maybe it is, about the idea that prosperity is a physical attribute. Because, you know, even in the Old Testament, in Proverbs says that God makes one prosperous but isn't at any sorrow with it. And I don't know about you, but it seems a lot of times the more things that I have, the more sorrow they tend to bring, because they either become distractions, or, as Solomon found out, they became such a distraction that he got his eyes off God. And so I believe that true prosperity, yes, as John says, I pray you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. I believe that there is a prosperity that is sometimes in the physical. But I don't think you can judge two people whether one has money in the bank and one has, you know, enough 401ks that he's set for the rest of life, that either of those are, one is more prosperous than the other. Because I would say that is, like you said, that's from the world. And that's all temporal. I believe true prosperity is that divine nature of Christ. As I like to say, I believe that what we're talking about, the super overflowing, this river, it's Christ, it's God, it's the Holy Spirit. It's all of this is him. It's not like some just, you know, attribute that he, you know, throws out there so that we can, you know, say, oh, I've got a part of it. No, it's God himself. And that's who we've received. That's who dwells in us and has chosen us to be his temple. To be, I mean, he, you know, when we go to church on Sunday, he's in the church already, because we are the church. We are his temple. And so that habitation is prosperous. That habitation of him is the superabundance that we have. So well said, Moses. Anyone else? Oh, yes, Bob.
I'd like to throw out a caution with that too, is that, you know, there's things that we do in our lives that cut off that abundant life, you know.
That's what Gabe was talking about, yeah.
And you reap what you sow. And
oh. you reap what you sow, and you know, the Lord forgives us for the things, you know, that we confess to him. But even though they're forgiven, still, sometimes he doesn't uproot those things that we've planted.
Oh, well, yeah, you're talking about consequences.
Consequences, that can kind of throw us off. But just think about, you know, just in our daily lives, you know, we say that we want to serve the Lord. You know, I've done this, oh, man, over and over again. You know, I get on my face before I go to work in the morning. Lord, guide me. Let me, show me what you need me to do, you know, and then I get to work and you just kind of, you get so busy that you just don't, you know. Or when I've been off it, you know, this summer, you just get doing stuff that really doesn't entertain the presence of the Lord, you know. And some things actually push him away. And so,
well, he says he'll never leave you or forsake you.
Yes, he'll never leave us.
I think when you say push him away, hold on. When you say, I want to clarify that, because it is something that people say, and you can't push him away. But what you can do is get to the place where you're not acknowledging his presence, which could be to some as if he's not there, but he's always there. So all we need to do is always cry out to God.
Right.
When we're in a place and we realize, oh man, I've messed up.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, he is a loving father. Unfortunately, the church over the years has built God up as, and it was what the Pharisees and Sadducees looked, that he is a tyrant, and that, you know, he wants us to follow this certain regimen. If we don't follow it, you know, we're in trouble. But he knows our failures. He knows our weakness. He was acquainted with the temptations. Keep in mind, before Jesus came, God was never tempted. You got to keep this in mind. God had never been tempted before. He allowed himself to suffer temptation. So he is fully acquainted now with what we deal with. And so whether you want to say that God came to a different revelation of what man experiences, I don't know. But we know that he was never tempted before that. And that was a new attribute that Christ fulfilled in that he suffered as we suffer, not just on the cross, but he suffered as a human being. And so we have to realize that God is full of compassion. I agree with you. We're going to suffer consequences. When we do things that we know are contrary to our own good, they're not just against God's law, but they're things that are going to cause hurt and pain in our lives. But the thing is that God's not going to push us away. He's not going to reject us. He's always got a hand out and saying, come to me. But we have to yield. Like when you're on your knees, Lord, lead me today, guide me today. And, you know, you're crying out in sincerity. And when you come at the end of the day and say, oh, I missed that. I didn't obey his voice. I went ahead and just did my own thing. Or I didn't pay attention to him at all today. You know, we feel more bad about that than God does. Because God knows that we're living lives. I mean, you think of a little kid running around. Because that's what we are like to God. A little kid running around. And sometimes they don't even pay attention to you. You try to get them to pay attention. You can't even get them to pay attention to you. But do you say, oh man, I can't believe this kid's not even paying attention. Like, you know, you want to kick. No, you just love them. You know that they'll grow up to the place where they'll come to a place where they'll pay attention to you. And unfortunately, some people are going to die before they really pay attention to God. Because they're going to see him finally for who he is. And like, oh my gosh, you have all my attention now, you know. And the life that was distracting them and keeping them from seeing his glorious love for them is no longer stopping his love from filling their hearts. And so I stopped you because I want to make sure that people get away from this idea that we somehow push God out of our lives. We may push him to the place where we don't give him room to work in us, but he's always there. He's always just waiting for us to cry out. I believe that 100%. And I think you do too. I'm just trying to make sure that our language follows what we believe. And sometimes it hasn't. Does that make sense?
Yeah, he says, follow me. And he goes a straight line. And here, you know, we try to follow him. We get off here.
Oh, we do, don't we?
Here, you know. So we kind of leave him, you know, but always.
He's always there. Even when we're off in the bushes over here, in places where we should never be, he's there. He's grieved. He's sad because he knows the destruction that this could potentially be bringing to our lives. And he's just waiting for us to have his light penetrate that darkness to the place where we listen, his still small voice saying, come back, son. Come back, daughter. You haven't gone too far. I'm waiting here for you. Now, if you want to get into the full apostate idea that someone who totally tasted everything and they reject God to the place where they say that his crucifixion wasn't true and all that stuff, I can't even imagine somebody getting to that place. Obviously, we know that people can because it's talked about in the Bible, but most individuals are just tied up with either the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those sins that trap us to the place where we don't get to acknowledge God. Roger, go ahead. Sorry, that was a little long.
No, that's fine. I think, too, that part of the exceeding abundance goes beyond the natural and the physical needs, but into the spiritual. God wants us to come to the realization that there are also spiritual gifts and spiritual applications that we can apply to our life.
Amen.
That exceed the natural and the physical. He said, the word says, first the natural, then the spiritual. So to me, I think that incorporates in that verse, and I think that's what God is trying to convey there as well.
Amen. Yeah, that basically that we have no lack and we have no need of anything that's in life and godliness. That's what it says, that we have all things. And I don't know about you, but what does all things mean to you? Does anybody think all things means part things? No, I don't think it does. I think we have everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. The thing is, like Bob said, are we allowing that to be evident in our life by focusing on it? That is one thing that we need to remember, is that this does take focus. This does take, if you really want to allow God to be working in your life in such a way that all these abundances are flowing, it takes focus. It takes either focusing on His love, focusing on Him working in your life, worshiping Him and giving Him thanksgiving. That opens the door. We're opening our heart to like a new level of His presence to come in. What does it say? Psalm 24. Hang on, I'll get it real quick. I don't want to butcher it, because it's another Messianic psalm. Sorry, we're going long, Richard. Bless you, brother. Hold on here. Then we'll be done. I almost promise. Here it is. Who lift up your heads, O gates. Lift up your heads, O gates. And be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads. In other words, what's it say? It says to set our mind on things above, not on things of this earth, but set our mind on things above, where Christ is, in Colossians 3, seated at the right hand of the Father, and we're seated in heavenly places with Him. It's a lifting up that we have to do. Now, some people, when I used to think of lifting up, oh, I'm looking to heaven. No, what I'm doing is I'm lifting my countenance, my thought process, my being above this natural life, not letting it hold me down, and I'm lifting it up. And when I do that, what happens? The King of glory comes in. Well, it sounds like He's coming in, you know, like through that door there, but He comes in into our heart. He comes awaken into our hearts. Mm-hmm. So who, like Bob said, who is it that stops the Lord from working in our lives? It's us. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, he can super abundantly overcome us. We just had a testimony from somebody recently how they were going to deal with somebody in their own mind and everything, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God came out of them and they were speaking in tongues, and the next thing you know, they were acting like a different person because God super abundantly overflowed through them. And they had been really keeping the Lord on their heart and everything, but they were ready to react in their natural man, and nope.
Open their mouth to say one thing and out come the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can we end with this little chorus?
Little chorus?
You're all I need. You're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need. You're all I need. You're all. Jesus, you're all I need.
He is all we need. And we have all of Him. Amen. All right, sorry for going so long. Is that like a penalty or something for going that long? Father, we just thank You for this time together. And Lord, we thank You that You are all we need. And Lord, that You are not holding Yourself back. You have given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. So Lord, I pray today that those who need more of You will realize that they need to focus on You to have that more. That You're already there. You're just waiting for them to turn their attention and turn their eyes and lift up their heads as a gate of the Lord and let the King of glory come in.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We love you guys.
Yep.